Welcome to installment 48 of Sefer HaMitzvos from the Rambam. Today's commandment is one we discussed approximately a week ago, prohibition number 320, the prohibition of doing work or malacha on Shabbos. The verse from which this prohibition derives states, Loisas echa malacha, do not do any forms of work. However, the word malacha in Hebrew, it really cannot be translated as work, since it is a concept within itself, within the Torah frame of reference. Malacha does not merely mean anything which requires exertion or a great deal of physical strength. However, malacha is defined, according to the oral Torah, as any of those acts which were necessary for the construction of the Mishkan, the tabernacle in the desert, which in general are divided into 39 categories of creative activity, as we discussed in our previous discussions of this commandment. Not only physical acts of work or creative activity are prohibited on Shabbos, but even certain forms of speech and certain forms of thought. Even if a thought about somebody's work should disturb his Shabbos rest, this is also prohibited on Shabbos. And certainly, idle talk, certainly words regarding one's business activities during the week, and even dvarim betelim, idle talk, one should not overly indulge in Shabbos. One exception or seeming exception is brought in the code of Jewish law regarding a person who likes to listen to Sipur Shmois v'divrei chedushim. He wants to hear the news and he wants to hear everything that's happening, and this causes him enjoyment. Such a person, it says in Shulchan Aruch, if this is all he is capable of doing, he is allowed to engage in such talk. Talking about business activities and the like is of course strictly forbidden, but this sort of talk, although it is not proper and a person should not want to engage in such talk, nevertheless, if this is his enjoyment, the Torah allows it. The Baal Shem Tov had an example, a mashal, to explain this. Once a king in a certain land created a certain day, a holiday in all of his kingdom, and on this one day people could come and any request which they brought would be granted. And many people came to the king and prepared their requests for the king to fulfill. Among the people was one certain fool, who had a lack of understanding, a lack of knowledge, and was also stricken with terrible physical suffering. His body was covered with different sorts of sores and seiras, a terrible skin condition. And he came before the king, and when it came time for his request to be presented, he requested only one thing. He wanted plenty of sacks, different bags of cold, wet fertilizer. And with these bags of cold fertilizer, he would be able to place them on his skin, and this would relieve the pain of his terrible skin condition. However, all of the servants of the king started laughing at him and said, you could have chosen anything you wanted, anything whatsoever, and you have nothing to demand but fertilizer. You have something hurting you. You could have asked for the greatest of doctors, the greatest of cures, and this is all you ask for? This is how you make a fool of yourself by such a disgusting request? However, the king interrupted them and said, it's too late. He has already issued his request, and I promised that I would fulfill anyone's request, and it's too late. This is his request. This is what I shall fulfill. And the king gave the order to his servants to fulfill the request and find the fertilizer and fill it up with bags and cool it off in order to fulfill this particular desire. If this is what he thinks his desire is, said the king, then this is what I will fulfill. And the Baal Shem Tov said that the Nimshal, what he's trying to bring out, is very, very clear. On Shabbos, we have the ability to attain tremendous spiritual heights with a tremendous spiritual enjoyment. If we choose to exchange it for other sorts of delight, other things we like, then God grants us the ability to do this as well. And He does not forbid this sort of talk. We can do it if we want. However, this is exactly like the person that comes with such a request to the king that he is taking his own short-sighted view of what is enjoyment and exchanging it for the true enjoyment, this which is available to him on Shabbos. In Sefer HaMitzvos, the Rambam, as he often does, describes the punishment incurred by biblical law for the violation of this particular prohibition. Should a person intentionally do an act which is forbidden on Shabbos, and should there be witnesses to this act who warn him of the consequences, he is punishable by skila, death by stoning, or rather being pushed off a cliff, and thereby pushed off a large building which was constructed for that purpose, and if the fall itself did not kill him, then a stone was pushed upon him by the witnesses. from this great height. This is why it's known as stoning. Should this fail as well, then stones were thrown upon him. But when this penalty this punishment were enacted, this was not the usual way to put the person to death by throwing stones, as we'll discuss later on, God willing, in the law of Skila. In any case, this is the death penalty incurred by someone who intentionally violates this commandment. Should he violate it without having any witnesses to the act, and he violate it intentionally, then the punishment is kores, an excision of the soul, a cutting off of the soul. In various Jewish writings, the consequences of this law are related. First of all, we see from the punishments in the Torah, although they are not given today, no one is put to death for a violation of Shabbos today, nevertheless we can see the tremendous importance of this commandment by the severity of the punishment. Furthermore, we can see from this the reward for a person who keeps the Shabbos. Our sages tell us that when God gives a punishment for someone that does something bad, we should know that he gives a reward for someone that does something good. And not only in a similar amount, but even much more so, much more so, much more than the punishment incurred by someone that does something negative, is the reward for someone doing something positive. And therefore we see the strict punishment for someone that violates the Shabbos. How much more so is the tremendous reward for someone who keeps the holiness of the Shabbos and rests on the Shabbos as prescribed by Jewish law? The Rambam concludes a section of Sefer HaMitzvahs by describing the procedure when someone does this transgression of Shabbos unintentionally, b'shegeg. Then, as it is for other cases where if one intentionally does an act, he is punishable by kares. If he does it unintentionally, b'shegeg, for example, not knowing it was Shabbos, or something of the sort, then he is required to bring a korban chatos, a sin offering. As this detail, as well as all the details of the various laws, are described in the tractate Shabbos. There are various levels of unintentional sin. Aside from this of shegeg, there is a level called oinus, when a person is virtually forced to do the act, when he does not even have consciousness that he is doing the act. For example, a person that mistakenly brushes against a light and a light switch, and in doing so turns the light on, and here, in this case, there was complete lack of action. And so too, a person that by habit turns a light switch on or off, this could possibly not be called shegeg. This is more called einus. He is forced, so to speak, in that he did not consciously decide to do an act, and not realizing that it was a violation of Shabbos, this was like an automatic act. However, we learn that even for such an act, one needs to do tshuva, one must repent for such an act and correct it, since this itself is a sign that inside the person has not allowed the sanctity of Shabbos to penetrate his soul. The story is told about a person that came to the tzaddik Reb Shmuel Abba with a complaint that on Friday night, when it came time to make Kiddush, every night, somehow he fell asleep. Right at the table, he fell asleep, and everyone was completely beyond the ability to wake him up. The first time it happened, they thought that he had fainted dead away, and the doctor was called, but was unable to revive him. However, in the morning, he woke up as if nothing had happened. The next week, the exact same thing happened, until he found that every Friday night, he would fall asleep in a dead sleep the entire night. And in doing so, he was deprived of the mitzvah of Kiddush. Whenever he would start to make Kiddush, he would fall asleep. And he went before the tzaddik, Reb Shmuel Abba, with this complaint about what has happened to him. And the tzaddik answered him that the reason this is happening to you is that you must have desecrated Shabbos. And just as you have desecrated Shabbos, Shabbos is taking away its sanctity from you, preventing you from making Kiddush. He knew of no instance when he had violated Shabbos, and had always kept it as best as he could. When he came back to his home and related what his Rebbe had told him, one of his sons told him of a story that had once happened, that he had hidden until now. Once his father woke up in the middle of the night on a Friday night, and in a very desperate thirst, he ran to try to find water, was unable to find it, and lit a candle, evidently not realizing it was Shabbos. He lit the candle, found the water, took a drink, put out the candle, and went back to sleep. And evidently this was all done, so to speak, in his sleep. And in the morning he did not remember having done anything of the sort, as his son soon was able to see when asking him such questions. The son didn't want to reveal to his father that he had violated the Shabbos, in that it had been unintentionally, so he kept it a secret. But now that the tzaddik had said that he had violated Shabbos, even though unintentionally, he knew this is what his Rebbe had meant, and he sent back to relate this story to the tzaddik Rebbe. And the tzaddik told him that since you weakened in Shomeres Yom HaShabbos, that you did not keep observe the Shabbos by being careful not to do work, then you were being paid back in that you're Zocheres Yom HaShabbos, remembering the Shabbos day, as we discussed in yesterday's commandment. By making Kiddush, this is being taken away from you. Since you took away the Shomeres Yom HaShabbos, the guarding, keeping the Shabbos day by not doing work, so to the Zocheres Yom HaShabbos, the Kiddush is being taken away from you. And the only way this punishment will be taken away is if you were put to a test in observance of Shabbos. And if you come through this test, then it will be taken away and you will once more be able to make Kiddush. Very soon, the test came. He worked by renting a mill for a certain local nobleman. In addition to paying this nobleman an annual rental fee for use of the mill, so too he would have a certain percentage of the day's profits. However, the owner of the mill decided that he was going to expand the mill, and now he needed additional profit, and now he could not afford to have the mill sit idle on Shabbos. And knowing that there are some people that find a certain leniency, that they twist out a heter, a leniency in Jewish law, to try to find a way to sell it to a non-Jew for one of the 7 days, and so on, he requested that this man do such a thing also. And he refused clearly, remembering that he was put to a test of Shabbos, and therefore said he would in no way agree to such an arrangement. However, the owner started to threaten, and said, if you do not open up on Shabbos, or else allow a contract which will allow the mill to be open on Shabbos, you will be released. You will be kicked out of the mill. And this is exactly what happened, that somebody else became the tenant and somebody else rented out the mill. And this man went without any money, lost his entire livelihood, and was even without food for his family. And on top of that, he became physically ill, physically sick. And his Rebbe informed him, in answer to his questions, that you should know that your suffering is almost over. After a short time, you will have come through the test, and Hashem will amply reward you. And this is exactly what happened, that the new tenant somehow was unable to keep the mill working properly. All sorts of strange accidents were happening, and all sorts of things were happening to keep the mill from working properly. Eventually, the owner of the mill got the point and saw and sensed that this was evidently a punishment for his having relieved the Jew from his post as a result of a Shabbos observance. He called back the Jew and invited him back and said he would allow him to keep the Shabbos as long as he would take care of the mill. That if I see all these strange things happening, I can see that your God is certainly with you. You should come back to the mill and keep your Shabbos. And this is what happened. He regained his livelihood and his health and his ability to keep Shabbos and make Kiddush as well.